Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
Hour number three, Mustard and Johnson, 617-779-7937. We've been spending most of the program today talking about the Bob Holler piece in the Boston Globe about the Assabet Valley coach suspended. We'll get back to that conversation in a little bit, but let's check in with our buddy Steve Buckley from The Athletic, now and again from WEEI. He's down in FLA. Are you in somewhere in the vicinity of JetBlue, Buck?
I am on I-75 somewhere between Fort Myers and Bennett.
Aha.
I am driving up to listen to Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball. He's having a media availability. He's having one today here in Florida for the Grapefruit League teams, and then he's meeting with the media Tuesday in Arizona. Also, all the managers from the Grapefruit League will be on hand today. So it's a big thing they've been doing the last couple of years. It's like Media Day Arizona, Media Day Florida.
And we talked a little bit about this the last time you were on. Is Manfred going to address the Red Sox sign-stealing scandal situation, or what do you think is going to happen there?
If I were to guess, I would think that he's going to say, which will make the whole thing fruitless, but he'll say that we aren't ready to announce our findings yet. It's going to happen soon. Given that this media day, I think, is supposed to be somewhat festive, I think that they would do the Red Sox decision via a statement that I think will come out soon, but I don't think it'll come out today.
Is there any, the question I think I would ask is, what is the reason for not laying a glove on any of the players?
Well, I'll tell you what he would say, which is that in order to get the information they needed to give immunity so that the players would talk. The problem with that, in the eye of the fans, is that it's the players, certainly in Houston. I mean, we're seeing a situation in Houston where it was top to bottom, that there was a deep dive into sign stealing from the top on down with the technology they were using. But when you get to the banging on the trash barrels and all that, that was player driven. And oddly, the only player who has been punished is a former player, Carlos Beltran,
right,
who skipped onto the Mets to become their manager. And they were very excited about that. He's a smart guy. He knows the game top to bottom. And in a weird way, his knowledge of the game caved in on itself here because he was involved in the whole trash barrel thing, which is, in a vacuum, pretty clever, but it's also illegal.
Were you surprised that the Yankees brought back Beltran after he was let go by the Mets?
No, I mean, listen, one of the things I've learned in sports in recent years is that doors that are shut to players and coaches and managers and so forth at one level are opened up on a different level. And I give you, like, A-Rod had the big suspension and the bad guy of baseball, and now he's a media star on TV. So that's the way it works. I wouldn't be terribly surprised if Alex Cora emerges somewhere, maybe in a media presence down the road. He can't work in baseball, but he can work around baseball. Well, actually, he'd have to have a studio role because I guess he can't be in the ballpark.
Hmm. Would you, where would you put this sign-stealing scandal in the annals of baseball scandals vis-a-vis Black Sox, Rose, steroids? Where does that fit in that quartet of controversial subjects?
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. It's an interesting question because it's, you know, we always tend to focus on what's immediate right in front of us, and that would make this number one. But you go back to 1919, you had eight players, the Chicago White Sox, presumably eight players, who were working to lose the World Series. At the least, you could say these guys were working to win the World Series.
True.
So
yeah.
It wasn't like they were tossing games. The Cincinnati Reds are the world champions of baseball in 1919, but they had a little bit of help. The team that they were playing was trying to lose. So I look at that as the biggest black mark on baseball. When you consider that baseball had no commissioner up to that point and felt the need to go out and get one in the form of Kennesaw Mountain Landis. So as I wrote in the Athletic the other day, to clean up Dodge. So I still put that, if you want to rank them, and we love to rank in media, and I would rank that one number one. And as far as steroids versus this one, I haven't really, you've got, it's sort of like 2A and 2B, because the guys using steroids and the guys using stealing signs were both doing so with an eye toward winning games.
Right.
Not that I'm making it a good thing. I'm simply saying it's not as heinous as what happened in 19.
But has it changed your opinion any on Bonds and Clemens and McGuire and people like that getting into the Hall of Fame, and Pete Rose getting into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, well, Pete Rose, no, because he gambled on baseball. And I know people will like to say, the president just said, that, well, he only bet on the Reds, which is simplistic in the fashion that if you have to win this game tonight, you might use a pitcher that maybe you shouldn't have used, or you might save a pitcher for the next night because you're going to bet on that game. So the only he bet on the Reds thing doesn't work for me. I do vote for Clemens and Bonds and for the Hall of Fame simply because I got tired of playing judge and jury on who did and who didn't. My system is as flawed as anybody's, but I've ultimately come down on the fact that they were Hall of Famers anyway. And all these guys who were using steroids did so during these boom years in baseball, and they came up with the promotion, chicks love the long ball and all that. And the commissioner of baseball at that time was Bud Selig. And when all this was said and done, he was whisked off to the Hall of Fame. So the way I look at it, and again, my system is no better than anybody else's. If Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame and Joe Torre's in the Hall of Fame, Tony La Russa's in the Hall of Fame, I find it a little difficult to tisk-tisk these guys who did the steroids, who hit the home runs, who won the games, who filled the ballparks, that Selig, Torre, and La Russa are in the Hall of Fame. And I don't begrudge them for being there. But if they're there, we have to take a wider look at who's not in there.
But, Buck, on the other hand, I'm reading your article from yesterday about things that you would change in baseball. Number one on the list would be you'd vacate the Astros' 2017 World Series championship.
Yes, I would do that because I know people – I don't know how that correlates with what I just said, but there are people who are saying, well, you can't vacate the championship because they didn't draw a line through 1919. This, to me, is just so bad. They thwarted the Dodgers from having a chance to win the World Series, and or they got in the way of that. They impeded that by cheating. And then after that press conference the other day, which I thought was just brutal, where the owner of the team
that was
said
terrible.
One thing and then said, I didn't say that. I was like, well, you know what? You didn't win the championship. We're taking it away from you. However, and I apologize to Dodgers fans, I forget the exact way I wrote it, but cheating to win games, taking away a championship from a team that won games illegally, doesn't correlate with giving wins, imaginary wins, if you will, to a team that did win them. So I would draw a line through it and say, no, I mean, they do it in the NCAA all the time, and nobody pays attention to it. UMass still has the Final Four banner at the Mullen Center, even though they, quote-unquote, were vacated from that appearance at the Meadowlands back in 97. But yeah, I would do that. I would calm down Dodgers fans by taking away that World Series.
See, I would take away the trophy and if possible the rings. I really would. I don't think baseball has come down hard enough on this situation, and I think for this reason they're going to have a terrible backlash.
Well, you've got players who are no longer with the Dodgers, and I don't have a roster in front of it. May not even be in baseball now. If I play for the Dodgers, the Astros, if I play for the Astros in 2017 and happen to be in the outside of baseball right now, and then somebody called me and said, you got to turn your ring in, I might not return that phone call.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I think the longer this goes without him pronouncing his decision regarding the Red Sox and otherwise. I just think it looks bad, Buck. It's just taking too long.
It is taking too long, and it does look bad. And the theory is put up by others, not by me, but I think I agree with most of it, is that I think what's happened is that what the Red Sox are alleged to have done is use the replay video downstairs behind the dugout to steal signs. And it's possible that, and again, I'm choosing my words carefully, that Major League Baseball has determined that there were a lot of other teams doing that. Now, they weren't banging on trash. They weren't doing all the stuff. They weren't doing the deep dive that the Astros were doing. But it's possible that what the Red Sox did is something that Major League Baseball has discovered that lots of teams were doing, and they're figuring out how to deal with that.
Have they treated Cora fairly?
Well, in terms of what he did or is alleged to have done with the Red Sox, to be determined, but he was a key player in what happened with the Astros in 2017. And by the way, he hasn't been treated unfairly to the degree that he hasn't been punished yet. Now, if you buy the line from the Red Sox, which I don't really do, it was a mutual parting of the ways. And when Sam Kennedy was asked at that press conference, well, if Cora said, no, I'm not going, what would you have done then? And Sam cleverly said, and I might have said the same thing if I was up there at the dais, that I don't want to speak in hypotheticals. So, okay, let's not speak in terms of hypotheticals. But what really did happen was that the Red Sox say that it was a mutual parting of the ways, that Alex Cora decided that he couldn't manage under the circumstances, and the Red Sox agreed with it. I choose to say he got fired.
Is he still getting paid?
Well, he had a contract through this season, so I presume that he is. Unless Major League Baseball, now this is where it gets tricky. Major League Baseball has held back its punishment for Alex Cora because the Red Sox 2018 season is still under investigation. It's likely that Alex Cora, as happened with A.J. Hinch, will be suspended for at least the 2020 season. Under those circumstances, he would not be paid for 2020, I assume.
Are you prepared to ask any questions of the commissioner today?
Well, I mean, it's a press conference, and sure, I mean, that's what we do. And there's going to be a whole lot of us there, a lot of people asking questions. It's funny because I've been to these kind of things before. Commissioner Football has that state of the game address that's done every year at the Super Bowl. And I think the last couple I've had my hand up for 45 minutes and wasn't one of the lucky people to be chosen. So we'll see what happens today.
You need to take Pete Shepard with you. Remember, he told the commissioner off because they didn't like the whole.
He didn't like this. You know, it's funny. He got a lot of grief for that. And but privately, a lot of people said, yeah, why is the Super Bowl in Jacksonville?
And it will never go back again thanks to Pete Shepard. No question about it. This is a question.
It's the Pete Shepard rule.
There you go. Hey, we were talking about this yesterday, Buck. We'll bring it up with you. How much of a hit, this is the one sport that obviously could not take another one because with declining TV ratings and attendance figures and demographics are rising and young people don't really want to watch baseball anymore. They think it's too slow. How long is it going to take for baseball to get out from under this? Is this going to be lingering for a long time?
It's going to linger. I don't know how long a time it's going to linger, but, you know, Major League Baseball is unless you buy into the belief that all press is good press, I don't necessarily think that's always the case. Excuse me, I got a bit of a cold. But when you look at where Major League Baseball is right now, just passing it, ESPN brought the wrath of God down on baseball in a piece the other day. It's not a good look for baseball right now. And I'll probably use this line in the column tomorrow. It's as though Major League Baseball on a different level has a committee on gimmicks to come up with stuff to make people go, what? You know, you think back to the All-Star game with this time it counts and awarding the home field advantage to the league that won the All-Star game. So we're going to take an exhibition game and use that for the ultimate event in baseball, which is the World Series. I always thought that was dumb. And now this talk of the division winner with the best record gets to go on live television and pick the team that wants to play. And That's very game showy to me, and it just seems kind of silly.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because we were discussing this yesterday. Again, we haven't had a chance with this other story going on, but they want to expand it, as you well know, to 7 teams in each league, buys for the best records in each league, and then the next 2 best records get to pick what team they want on a live television show? This is ridiculous. How is that going to attract more viewers to baseball?
And can you picture it? They'd have a big stage and Brian Cashman standing behind, like on a game show, pressing the buzzer.
Well, who's gonna?
No, I'm not a fan of that.
Who's gonna host it? Steve Harvey, or what? What are they gonna do?
Yeah, well, they would have somebody, Harold Reynolds or somebody from MLB, and everyone would have fancy suits on, and there'd be a colorful backdrop, a live audience, and they'd pan to the audience, and they'd have Henry Aaron sitting out there, baseball's legends and luminaries applauding in accordance with the sign that says applause. And I'm sure they'd dress it up quite nicely and it'd be a lot of fun, but I still think it would be a big gimmick, a big fat gimmick.
Hey, you talk about, you used the phrase a couple of times, the look, baseball's look right now and what's going on with them. How do the Red Sox look right now with Betts and Price out of there?
Well, I mean, this is the, it's funny, I've written this a couple of times. And I'm not the only one who's written it. It's the worst offseason the Red Sox have had in exactly 100 years. After the 1919
season. What happened after that 1919 season? Did they lose a player that year?
They lost a pretty good player and had a couple of bad seasons.
Just a few, huh?
A generous way to look at it. But it was 100 years ago they sold Babe Ruth to the Yankees and didn't win a World Series until 2004. I certainly don't think the Red Sox will not win another World Series for 100 years or 86 years. But and people say, well, how could you say this is the, and someone wrote me this, this is a worse off, this isn't as bad as it was in 63 and 64 when they were losing 100 games and, oh, those were really bad off seasons. Well, no, they weren't, because A, nobody cared, and B, you knew going into 1964 and 65 and 66 the team was going to be lousy. So you had measured expectations. This is a team that's 2 years removed from the World Series. Alex Cora was the golden boy of baseball. It was a young team, an exciting team, colorful team. And there was every expectation that they'd rebound from last year and compete again this year, I thought. And now they turn around, they trade Mookie Betts, who is one of the best 5-2 players the organization had ever produced. We're talking Yaz and Fred Lynn and guys like this. He has had five full seasons in baseball, and in each of those 5 full seasons, he's garnered MVP votes, including winning it 1 year. And he's a great outfielder. He's a Gold Glove outfielder. He hits. He hits for power. And he's a cool guy. He's got a cool nickname. I did this very, very silly survey the last couple of falls. I live in a neighborhood where trick-or-treat is a big deal. We get hundreds and hundreds of kids in my neighborhood. Everybody does. And I think that there were 14 kids wearing Red Sox uniforms last year. And like, I'm just sort of playing with the numbers here because they didn't write it down. But out of the 14 kids wearing Red Sox uniforms, 9 of them were wearing Mookie Betts shirts. And they're trying to grow the game with kids. Clearly, in my view, Mookie Betts resonates with kids because he's a good player, he's a good-looking player, he's got a cool nickname, a great guy to front your organization, and they've turned around to trade.
Well, it's funny, you put it all in historical context. I really hadn't thought about it before. You just mentioned the Babe. And you had 5 championships. Babe gets shipped out, and 6 years later, they finally win another one. Now you got 4 in this century. Mookie Betts, well, maybe not the Babe Ruth of this franchise, pretty close to it. You wonder if there's going to be a long fallow period here where it's going to take a while for the Red Sox to get back to that championship level.
No, I disagree with that on a couple of grounds. Number one, once the Red Sox, they didn't just sell Babe Ruth, they sold off the whole team.
Right.
And they were really bad right up until Yawkey bought them in the 1930s. If you look at like the 1930 and 31 Red Sox, they lost like 115 games or something 1 year in the early 30s. It was a horrible team. Yawkey bought the team, he invested money in the team, and while they didn't win a World Series, from the late 30s, really right into the early 50s. You know, they had Ted Williams, Bobby Doerr, Johnny Pesky, Tom DiMaggio. Before that, they had Jimmy Fox and Lefty Grove and Rudy York. They had a whole bunch of stars on that team. And then they had a dead period really through the 50s, and they were even worse in the 1960s. But Dick O'Connell came in. They started signing African-American players. They had George Scott, Joe Foy, and all those guys. And they had Yaz coming along, Rico.
Reggie Smith.
I mean, yeah, and Lonborg, and they ended up winning the American League pennant. And there have been bad years since 1967, but obviously there's been a, for the most part, an interest in putting a good team in the field. I don't expect that to change. And I think that's the reason they brought Chaim Bloom in, is to build up the farm system, get the salary, get the payroll down to a manageable number, and then do a reboot, if you will. So, no, I don't see a period, a long period, where they sort of disappear from the postseason.
You certainly don't think they got enough for Betts and Price, though, do you?
Oh, no, that was a salary dump. I mean, they brought in Verdugo, who can play, and he'll be fine. I don't really have a read on Jeter Downs and Connor Wong. Connor Wong, I think, projects to a backup catcher's role in the big leagues, and Jeter, I think, is going to be a pretty good big league ball player, and he may be an all-star down the road, but, I mean, we're not talking the next Mookie Betts here, I don't think.
Hey, listen, good luck with your meeting. We'll be following you, and we continue to read your stories. I love the one you had on the National, and you got other stories coming out daily for people to...
Larry, I'm disappointed that you didn't ask me about my 8-point plan to fix baseball, and I had some very esoteric items in there, and one of them is to rename the Kansas City Royals the Kansas City Monarchs, because throughout the history of baseball, teams that moved into cities would resurrect the names of former minor league teams. The Milwaukee Brewers used to be a minor league team, the San Diego Padres, the Baltimore Orioles, and so forth, but no Negro League team has had its name resurrected in Major League Baseball. And I'm really serious about this. You have to read the article to see the point I'm making. But the Kansas City Monarchs as a name belongs in Major League Baseball. I've felt that way for years and years and years, and I think this is the first time I've written it down.
How appropriate would it be for the Red Sox to take one of these team names from the old Negro Baseball League and adopt it?
Well, the only problem is Boston never really had a Negro League team. They had the Boston.
You're kidding.
I think they had a Boston Royals, and there was a Boston Colored Giants. And
what
and
about
there were
Well, they tried out players. They had Mays and Robinson running around.
I'm trying to remember. Who was the last team to integrate in Major League Baseball? I don't remember.
What was that, Pumpsy Green?
Yeah,
was
that
it?
Would be Pumpsy
that
Green.
That would be your Boston Red Sox. Yeah. As I love to point out over and over, the Bruins had a black player before the Red Sox.
Willie O'Ree. Yeah. Hey, Buck, always good to talk. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to you down the line. And good luck on your travels through greater Florida.
And take some NyQuil.
Take care of yourself.
Take some NyQuil.
See you later.
All right. It's Steve Buckley from The Athletic, and sometime here on WEEI. Of course, he spent many years with the Boston Herald, many years on this radio station. We've done shows with him.
He's found
a new home and gets a lot of space in The Athletic. Great piece on his 8 ways to change baseball. I would check it out. Also, interesting piece on Alex Verdugo, the newest Red Sox player, who actually, according to Buck, and why wouldn't I believe him, he grew up as a Red Sox fan, Verdugo did. Big fan of Big Poppy.
I like Jeter's name.
Jeter Downs.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And he's a shortstop. What do you know?
Yeah, wow.
I don't know how that's going to play in Boston so much, but because I always heard, no Mas Bada.
Hey, if he can play, they'll like him.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're going to get back to some of our discussion about that hockey article. The coach out at Assabet Valley suspended for abusive behavior. Lots of calls on that if you want to weigh in. We're going to do that in our final segment. Mustard and Johnson continues on Sports Radio WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Mustard and Johnson doing a rare Sunday show.
Wait a minute, I'm going to hear this. I like this.
You like this, Steven Tyler and Aerosmith?
Yeah, I do a lot.
Every night. We're waiting for the first lyric, but apparently this is the instrumental version. Sorry. But, okay. You want to listen to more or do you want to take some calls? It's up to you, Larry. I'm going to let you run the show.
All right, we'll take some calls. People patiently waiting.
All right, we've been discussing the Assabet Valley story. It is the most read on BostonGlobe.com. It came out yesterday afternoon. Bob Holler wrote the chicken and beer story chronicling the misadventures of the Red Sox after the 2011 season. Has written a very disturbing, horrifying piece, eye-opening piece about a coach at Assabet Valley, an elite hockey program.
Couple of them. Is that Moran also?
Yeah, assistant coach Bill Horan, his daughter, Horan's daughter, Kelly Horan, using profane language, bullying techniques, degradation, the whole nine yards. It is Bobby Knight on steroids, and we've been talking about it at 617-779-7937. We'll begin this segment with Jay in Salem, who's next on Sports Radio. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, no Jay, problem. Thanks for holding.
I was hoping to get up to the when Stephen Taylor actually comes in. But
I know. It was just starting.
It was just there. It was just there. And, you know, I didn't play sports in high school. The only experience I have in team sports was further down the road. I played a little rugby. We had a very, very adamant, very intense coach from Belfast. So when he yelled at us, we really couldn't understand what he was saying. So the only other thing I had to compare it with, and it really struck me, was basic training. You know, when we went the intensity,
Which branch, Jay?
Army.
Army.
Army,
okay.
Sir. Army, and then Army Guard. But when you go to basic for Army, it's all, everyone's in the same boat, you know, whether in the reserve or guard or whatever. 7'2" drill sergeant. You think, you know, you're screwed from starters, but and he broke down nothing, and there was profane language. There was, you know, but his thing was not to personally insult you, you know. In the first place, you screw up, they blame the guy next to you and the guy on the other side for not telling you what to do in the first place. So that's a whole different mindset. And he'd drag us out. We screwed up. He'd drag us out for grass drills. He'd drag us out for a 5-mile run. You know, things like that.
Would you say you had more of a purpose because you doing all this stuff because you might be laying your life on the line?
Well, absolutely. That's the bottom line. You know, once you get in it, once you start working with the rifle, it really becomes a reality. But you have a few weeks before that where they're just building, literally team building, you know, getting you guys to all work together. You get people from all over the country, all kinds of backgrounds, cultural, educational, whatever. And the thing was, with this guy anyway, and I respect him to this day, he would bust you all day long and you'd be cursing him in your head. Then he would get with you. You're like, okay, you suck at running, okay? Or you can't do push-ups to save your life. Come out with me. I'm going to show you a trick. I'm going to show you a way to do it. We're going to work together.
Right. And I think, Jay, I appreciate the call because we only have a limited amount of time here. It sounds as if the Army, maybe to a lesser degree the Marines, maybe other branches, have evolved with the times. This guy seems to be, in this Assabet Valley coach, seems to be back in another time and place where that kind of thing would be tolerated because that was the way it was. And I guess you could compare him to your worst nightmare of a Marine drill sergeant at Paris Island. This is what Dennis Lange was doing to young women playing hockey up until he was suspended in November. Nick in Dover, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for putting me on. I hope the call doesn't drop. I'm driving up 16 towards Conway right now, and I heard your conversation with Buck and loved it, every minute of it. But like Steven Tyler says, you're dreaming on if you think that trading Mookie Betts can be compared to trading Babe Ruth. And the whole thing with Mookie is, are we gonna let him stay another year and see what happened with some of these other players, Mo Vaughn, Roger Clemens, guys that went down the road, and then the team will wind up losing. I told Greg Hill this week that I will gladly take any wager he wants to offer that the Red Sox will finish well above 500. This year and be competitive still. God bless Mookie Betts. He did a lot of great things here.
Who's your starting rotation, Nick?
Eddie Rodriguez, Chris Sale. I think having a little time off from spring training or a little later start isn't going to hurt him.
Gosh,
Eovaldi, I think, is going to come back strong. And I think that these guys have to throw 5-6 innings. They don't have to. You don't have to stretch them out until down the. Down the stretch.
Well, thank
you know,
God.
There's no need.
Well, thank God they got a good bullpen.
Well, hey, it's you never know.
Right. Nick,
you
I would
never
agree.
Know.
Nick, I would agree with you. I think all this doom and gloom. Are they going to win the division? Are they legit World Series contenders? Thanks for the call. Probably not. But you know, it's going to be up from 84. They're going to be in the high 80s, I think. Maybe 90 wins. They'll be in the hunt. They'll be hovering around that wild card.
I think more around 83.
83? Well, that would be taking a step back then because they only won 84 last year.
Well, Craig, I don't know whether you know it or not. They're not feeling the same team they had last year.
I heard that. Yeah. I've been listening to the Mustard Johnson show avidly for that information.
When? When's that on Saturdays?
William in New Hampshire, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey,
what's
going on,
Dale?
Hey,
how are you?
What's happening?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I you know what? I had called earlier about a basketball comment about the Celtics tickets.
Yep.
But after everything else, we've gone six ways from Sunday.
No, you can get your Celtics comment in.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, in Bowie Kuhn, I trust. So I'll start there.
There's a name on the list.
Well, he was the greatest baseball commissioner.
Oh God, yeah. What a model for all commissioners afterwards.
Well, he was a stand-up guy, and I thought he did it right.
I don't know if Bowie Kuhn. He was pretty much a puppet of the owners.
I like Giamatti.
I thought Bart Giamatti.
I like Giamatti, right. too.
Yeah, I thought Bart Giamatti, unfortunately, several months after he suspended Pete Rose for life, he died of a fatal heart attack. Terrible. But very bright guy. So what's the call about, William?
Well, actually, my call. So, I've been in and out of the car a little bit, but you had talked about the Celtics tickets were readily available, or somebody made.
Yeah,
that
I said
comment.
That back in the '60s when Russell was winning 11 out of 13 championships year after year, the dominant team. And I've said this over and over: they were not a popular team. They didn't have the support of the Boston sporting public. The Bruins, meanwhile, in the original 6 days, were last place team, and they banged the place out. It was not a basketball town in Russell's era.
Right. You know what, then? So I definitely misread the whole, because it sounded like, I mean, when I was growing up in the 80s, I mean, you know, you rolled up the town, you rolled up the streets, your grandmother was in front of the TV. We were listening to Johnny Most, and you couldn't get a ticket,
right? It's almost as if, and I hate to use this kind of an analogy. Thanks for the call, William. It's almost as if Larry Bird discovered basketball in Boston, like Columbus discovered America. Of course, he didn't discover it. The Native Americans were here. The Aborigines were here already, but basketball was a non-starter. You know, you went to those games, plenty of good seats available.
Plenty of good seats.
Right, anywhere you wanted to sit. And it's hard for people to imagine in the pre-Bird era with all those championships. They'd won 13 championships before Larry Bird ever set foot on the parquet, yet people think he discovered.
How many did Bird win?
He won three.
Three.
Okay. And, of course, he had the unfortunate part about having to play the Lakers. They lost twice to the Lakers, beat them twice. So, you know, that was, you know, I would say Magic would have won more without Bird. Bird would have won Magic, would have won more without Bird or whatever I'm trying to say there.
What did Kobe win? Five?
Kobe won five, three with Shaq.
Shaq Daddy.
And two on his own, including the last one against the Celtics in 2010. 617-779-7937. Final comments coming up right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
See if we can squeeze a couple of calls in before we have to make way for Brian Barnett. Top of the hour at 4 o'clock. He'll take you through the All-Star Game. Pre-game beginning at 7:30. Did I give his wrong name? Brian Barrett. I threw an extra N in there. I apologize. It's Brian Barrett.
You got to at least know your colleague's name.
Yeah, I just met Brian last week. He's excellent, and I did compliment him. He has a wealth of knowledge.
Got a lot of knowledge.
He certainly does.
Reminds you of myself.
Just a fond of statistics, information, trivia. Scott and Weymouth, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
I don't know if I'm on topic or off topic, but I just have an opinion on the Zdeno Chara suspension and Kaskinen for Edmonton.
Go ahead.
All right. If I was commissioner, I'm not a hometown hero. Chara, what a joke. What a dirty play. I'd give him, no joke, if I was Scott the commissioner, Chara, 20 games. Why? Let me finish. Hold on. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
This is what's wrong with hockey. I love good, tough, clean hockey. I hate dirty hockey, and so I hate Marchand, although he's getting better.
Oh, I love Marchand.
Hold on, let me finish. He could have broke the guy's neck. Marchand's a piece of, you know what, he slew fucks. He's a dirty little rat. I don't care if he plays for the Bruins.
He's the ball
now,
of hate.
Kaskinen for Edmonton. He actually, for the people out there listening who don't know what happened, he was in a little skirmish. He actually kicked a guy with his open skate. Yep. Are you kidding me?
Did you see that?
Clint Malachuk back in the 80s? You could slice a guy's throat and kill him. What would I give Kaskinen? A year.
Ooh.
We need to come down.
You should be baseball's commissioner.
Yeah, Larry actually believes just the opposite. Let him hit each other. Let him fire away. Sticks swinging, skates. Who cares? as long as they get more violence. Terry, quick one before we have to go. Just a couple of seconds and we have to say goodbye. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Terry. Am I on?
You're on. Yeah, it's all you.
All right. I just appreciate, you give and take. Excellent. I usually listen to you on Saturdays.
Oh, good.
But you guys do a great job, and I appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you, Terry.
Listen, Terry, we'll give you another hour. Go ahead.
Right back at you. You can check us out at 9 o'clock. More Give and Take coming your way at 9 o'clock on Saturday over on the AM side. Thanks to Brian DeFelice. Did I get that name right at least? Brian Barrett.
People.
We'll be back next week on AM. Have a good week, everybody. Bye.
Engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.